We're continuing with Rav Chalap and Shavuot. And Rav Chalap had began with the Gemara from Baba Kama. Why is it that the first set of commandments don't have the word Tov, and the second set of commandments have the word Tov? And he said, because the first set of tablets would be broken, so the word Tov shouldn't be broken. So he said, there's a lot to be discussed here. What's going on in that medrash? And then he quoted another medrash that the nations were jealous of Israel. Why did they receive the Torah? And Hashem said, show me your genealogy. And that's why the beginning of the book of Bamidbar recounts Am Yisrael's genealogy. So again, Hashem offered the Torah to all the nations. Why is Hashem's answer, look at them, they're faithful to their families. If Hashem offered them the Torah, why didn't they repent and just take the Torah? Well, they saw the beauty of the Torah, they didn't come back and take it. And then he quoted the Medrash that a non-Jew asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he said, you guys seem to be sorcerers, how come you burn this cow, and then you take its dust, and you just sprinkle three drops on the person, and he's pure? So he said to him, you guys also have cures like that, where you just burn a grass, and a person gets cured of certain ailments. So he says, if smoke can cure a person, so then certainly by sprinkling something on a person can also cure a person. And then the students asked him, they said, okay, what's the real answer? So he said, the truth is the waters don't do anything. Hashem said, I created a world, I created rules for the world, and that's how it's going to work. So he asked, wait, what was bad about his answer? So he said, a person could look at the world and think that the rules of Torah are like rules of nature. That what the Torah does is reveal to us that eating non-kosher is unhealthy. There are rules. The Torah is just revealing to you what you don't know about nature. You could misunderstand the Torah that way. But if that were true, then you shouldn't have exceptions to the rules. The rule should always be, don't eat non-kosher because it's always bad for you. Yet the Torah says, the first 14 years where they entered the land of Israel, they were allowed to eat pig. So, wait a second, if it's bad for you, then what changed those 14 years? He said, there are many examples. You have Horacha. You have times where the prophet tells you, this is the right thing to do now. Right? There was a year that they canceled Yom Kippur. Right? What?
They got a free pass.
They got a free pass. Right. I don't know. So he says, the concepts of the Torah teach us that it's not about there being this hidden system in the world that you don't know, but if you adhere to this, then that system works. And now, it's not like we would say that every transgression is poison, and every mitzvah is a cure. Every mitzvah makes you healthy. So the Torah revealed to you the poison and the mitzvah. No. Hashem says, I'm telling you this is what you should do, and that's the root of why it's the right thing to do. And if Hashem wouldn't tell us to do it, then there's nothing right or wrong about this more than that. That's one of the answers as to why Avraham Avinu didn't circumcise before he was commanded. Because there would be no point. When Hashem tells him, then there's a covenant. Then there's a point in circumcising. But if Hashem didn't tell him, then he gains nothing from it.
Nobody kept Pesach
before. Right. But that deserves another answer. You're asking a good question. I answered it, but you're asking a good question. Yeah.
I can't tell you who said this, but I definitely heard that the mitzvot and there are like this kind of system, maybe the spiritual system of the world, and any kind of person does this and doesn't there, he's kind of like going against the current.
Yes. There's also, okay, we said that this has to be worked out. It has to be worked out with the Rambam that says that the way of Torah is the best way to live in this world. We said there's if you think about it, it doesn't have to contradict one another, but it does deserve some work. Meaning it doesn't.
If you go according to the logical ramifications of what they're saying, then it would seem to contradict it. Meaning,
right. So I said it.
You're not going to go towards the logical
No, think about it. Think about it. They don't have to contradict. They're not mutually exclusive. It just requires work. So this is where we left off last time. So our approach to Torah, says Rav Chalap, our approach to the Holy Torah cannot be as a system within nature. This is the system you're supposed to run. Even if we look at the parts of Torah that are its deepest secrets, we view them as something that predates the world. We don't view them as a system within the world. We view them as something that's right and so pure that it predates everything we know about the world. It's not that Hashem says, you live in that world, let me tell you. In that world, you take a red heifer, you burn it, you do this, you do that, things will be good for you. No. The mitzvos predate the world. That means they're not a secret system within this world. They're a secret system that precedes the world. There's something right about them, irrespective of the world we're living in. It would seem obvious, says Rav Chalap, that even if the nations would accept the Torah, then they wouldn't accept it the way we accepted it. Because Hashem says, Bereshit bara Elokim, I created the world for Reshit. What is Reshit? Reshit is Israel. Reshit is the Torah. Hashem says they were both a part of the planning. The nations would look at the Torah and say, okay, how does this work in this world? Their approach to Torah would be, I see the world, and from the world, what am I supposed to see in the Torah? It's a nice thing to take a day off. Does it matter if it's Shabbos or Friday or Sunday? It's a good idea. Let's take a day off during the week. But it's right. So Rav Chalap says the reason we can connect to the concept that Torah is irrespective of the world is because we're also irrespective of the world. We're also a creation that predates the world, or a concept that predates the world. In doing that, says Rav Chalap, Hashem put it within us that we can connect to Torah on that level. When we look at the world, we see light and shadow. We see good and bad. We see sweet and bitter. But if we go beyond what we're seeing and we ask ourselves, what was Hashem's purpose in creating? There we say, Torah teaches us Hashem wanted to do good to the creatures He created. There we say Hashem wanted to reveal His goodness. Hashem created everything in order to reveal His goodness. And through the world, the good is revealed and the truth is revealed. And if Torah goes back to the moments of creation, not as a product of creation, but the moments of creation, just like in creation, there are opposites. There's good and bad, light and darkness. And all of this is part of Hashem saying, I want to reveal my good. So too within Torah, there's going to be good and bad and light and darkness. And it's all part of the good. So if all I'm looking at in the Torah is, show me a system, just like the systems in nature. So then when Hashem offers them the Torah, they ask, what does the Torah say? Meaning, I want to understand the light and darkness of Torah. I want to calculate how it works in my system of life down here. I want to evaluate whether I lose more or gain more. What is the system of the Torah? Is it better for me as a community, as a people, or is it worse for me? And they look at it and they say, no, we're going to lose our economy. We're going to lose our way of life. There might be good things about the Torah, but the bad things outweigh the good. So if they're a society that's promiscuous, and Hashem says, no, that's not going to be permitted in the Torah, so they'll say, then what good can you offer me that outweighs the bad you just offered me? I'm not interested. But we were given the Torah in a different way. When we look at Torah, we say, this is a part of the goal of all of creation. It's not a question of, what does the Torah permit and prohibit me? It's a question of, where's the world headed to? The world's headed towards good. God created a world that's focused on good, that's evolving towards good. And Hashem says, the way to get there is through this vehicle. The Torah is the way to get there. So then I'm not interested in the details. There might be details I don't like. The Jewish people also complained when the Torah told them they can't marry whoever they wanted to. There were details in Torah that were difficult to the Jewish people. It says, the nation was crying over the laws of family purity, the laws of the limitations of who you may marry. Am Yisrael also had their difficulties within the details of the Torah. The Talmud says you won't see a wedding where there isn't some kind of squabble, because the whole idea of the laws of weddings that the Torah gave us is something we always have a hard time connecting to. Yet the declaration of Na'aseh v'Nishma is a declaration that says, I want to connect to the trend of the Torah. Where's the Torah leading people? I understand that Hashem created the world with a goal of developing what's good, and so Hashem gave Torah, which is also a part of that goal. So I want to be a part of that trend. There are details. Yeah, the details might be hard for me down the road, but that's not what I connected to. I connected to the overall system, because we understand that this is the force that can move the system in the right direction. The world is waiting for what? For the sixth of Sivan. It says Hashem created the world. The whole world was hanging. The whole world was standing there on condition. Until 2 days ago, until Shavuos came, and the Jewish people said, we're accepting the Torah. Now the world can continue its course. But we didn't learn the whole Torah yet. That wasn't the point. We accepted to be the vehicle that's going to take the Torah and make the world a better place. We accepted to be a part of that trend. Now the world can continue going. Until that point, the world is on standby.
Wait, I can ask a question?
Yeah.
Is the quote-unquote point of the Torah, is it for truth, or is it a means, an ends to itself?
That's a difficult question. Right.
The way of truth brings us to the goal.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, you could say in a universe there are other truths that are not within the boundaries of the Torah.
It's complicated. It's a broad question. I'm saying I don't think it has to be either or. It can be both. Meaning, let's take learning Torah. It's a mitzvah, but it's also a means to doing other mitzvot. It's both. If we talk about learning Torah, every word you learn in Torah is a mitzvah. Yet, learning Torah is also the vehicle that allows you to perform other mitzvot. If you don't learn Torah, you won't be able to perform mitzvot. So is it an end or a means? It's both. The two don't have to be mutually exclusive. If you learn how to play, you learn how to swim.
Why are you calling it?
You learn how to swim. Okay. Is it fun, or is it so that you'll be able to swim later? It's both. You might have a good time learning how to swim, and it'll also allow you to swim later. Both.
The reason why I asked the question, I have to think about it. The reason I asked the question is because I realize that it can't be both. There's a certain aspect in which it cannot be both. I mean, let's say, for example, because I'll say the differentiating factor. The differentiating factor would be if there's a situation where the question is, why are you calling? Are you calling because it's true? And that is, you know, you see that this is the winning side, quote unquote, right? Like, this is the side that's going to, you know, succeed in the end. Or are you following it because Hashem told us to do it?
And why can't there be both?
Why can't it? Because it's, usually we make it saying, if we're purely on an intellectual plane, it has to be one.
Why?
That's just the way we work. Yeah, we can't. Meaning, I understand on an emotional, you know, we have many different reasons why we do things.
Let's leave us for a second. Why not talk about on a philosophical level? Why can't there be both? Forget why I do things. Why I do things, I'm a limited person. I might have certain drives that are more pure, less pure. That's a different question. But on a philosophical level, why can't there be both?
So why can't there, you're saying, why can't there be also because it's true and also because...
You tell your kid, don't go into the street because it's dangerous. Should he listen to you because what you said is true, or should he listen to you because you're his dad? Well, why not both? It is true, and he should also listen to you because you're his dad. They're not mutually exclusive.
I hear you're saying it's definitely something that is reasonable to ask the question.
Right. I am not sure what's bothering you, though. And again, it could be that in the child's mind, he's doing it because of one of them. That's his limitation. But both can be true. It could be that our drive is one and so not the other.
Me, but they are mutually exclusive.
Because, yeah, why?
Because if Hashem told us to do it, then it doesn't make a difference if it's true or not.
That could be, but it could also be true.
You can obviously say that it's true if Hashem told us, but let's forget that person.
No, but I'm saying it could be both. You told your son not to walk into the street. He has to listen to you, but it's also true. It's both. That's let's say. Okay, let's say.
When you're saying, is Hashem true? If Hashem is not true,
there's no such a thing.
In other words, if it perceives, one of the definitions of Hashem is evident, right? I mean,
it's complicated. I don't want to say it as simply as you're saying it.
But even if we don't understand it, could Hashem be telling you to do the wrong thing and still be Hashem? One of the Tanaim may be in the world to come, but even though he was right, they say opposite things, and we believe that they all were speaking truth, right? And maybe it's much too complicated to go into.
Yeah, it's a big topic.
It's beyond that thing. So, can you believe in a guy that's limited, that would say something false? I don't know. Not to then get what's true or false.
It's a big topic. I can't answer simply. I'm saying I could explain to you a little bit of why it's much more complex than just saying Hashem is truth and everything Hashem says is truth. And I didn't say that because I think that's too simplistic. I'm saying it's more complex. Yeah. Tanakh doesn't allow us to see things as black and white. It doesn't allow us. You have the false prophet, and a minute later he's saying true prophecy.
Right.
So wait a second. And Hashem spoke through a false prophet? The true prophet gets killed. And the false prophet tells him he's going to die. So Tanakh didn't allow me to just say, he's the prophet of God and he's telling the truth. He's the false prophet and he's telling a lie. That's it. And Hashem doesn't talk to the false prophet, and Hashem does talk to the true prophet. No. You suddenly have a meeting, they're sitting down, and the true prophet gets no prophecy. The false prophet starts the conversation lying to him, ends the conversation telling him, why'd you listen to me? God says you're going to die. So now I'm supposed to say, no, Hashem is truth, everything's true. It's a little bit more complex than that. You can't just say that line. I'm saying... What? Again, I mentioned earlier today, you can't take it simply. Hashem says there are not 10 righteous people in Sodom. What about all the children? Weren't there 10 babies in Sodom? Let's not take it simply. There's more to be discussed here.
Well, could it be, though, that we have had times in history where, like the end of the year, maybe, or at the Yom Kippur, even if there's no understanding, there's seemingly no more questions. At that moment,
I don't think so. No. That's what we learned in Seder Adoros, that they left Mitzrayim and the first book Moshe Rabbeinu gave them was Iyov. They left Mitzrayim, they were maimed. What do you mean they're standing on the Yom Suf, all their questions are answered? Everyone buried four relatives. How were their questions answered?
Well, they could, the same way that, in modern day times, there was a certain clarity, I'm not answered why I lost my pen in Auschwitz, but at that moment, that person wasn't questioning God anymore in the sense that we don't see it. Maybe they still were. I love that you're saying that.
Sorry?
You won't tell anybody if you're considered for chief rabbi. I'll say you had some reformist ideas.
I'm telling you, I'm giving you the source. I'm not telling you my opinion.
No.
I'm telling you again, right. Say there are Doros. It's a bona fide source. You're talking.
Bring it up. Good. Now, that's the Zigzag expression for every tough question. Is the answer is always wrong.
Yeah.
But to say something.
something what Hashem commands is wrong is pretty arrogant, because when you say that, you claim that you know something better than him. If you say you should do this or that, I don't want to know much.
That's why I didn't say I say.
We cannot explain his wisdom. It's too big for us. It's just, we cannot imagine how far the sun from us is. How can we imagine wisdom of Hashem?
Yeah, you see, the tables are a little turned here. I'm supposed to be saying what you're saying, right? My job here is to tell you how everything is right and perfect. I don't see it that way. I see it as we're working together, looking for what's right and true. I didn't say that we can sit here and pass judgment about whether Torah is ethical, right, or wrong. Even though I think that's a subject to be discussed. I wouldn't say it as simply as just, I don't have a right to say that. On some level, obviously, I agree with you. But on another level, I'm supposed to adhere to Torah and lead my life by it. And if it's supposed to be blind faith, then I could be anything. So there has to be some understanding. I could be ISIS. If it's blind faith, then you can't tell me that I'm held accountable. So there must be a litmus test Hashem gave me. If I don't have a litmus test, then there's no judge and no jury and no argument and no claim against me. The idea that Hashem says, I've given you good and bad and you have to choose the good, means I also have to have tools to choose the good. So to say what you're saying, on some level, obviously I agree with you. But the question is, how do you get there? Meaning, after you've come to a realization that Hashem is true and His Torah is true and we're responsible to observe His Torah, then I could hear what you're saying. Okay, I can't question Him. He knows better than me. But that's a later stage. And that's why I also, because I don't disagree with what you're saying, I didn't bring examples from what we would question. I didn't say, how could the Torah tell me to bash the skull of a baby? I didn't bring the pasuk from Tehillim. I could have brought that pasuk. But there, you'll argue with me and say, you have no... fine. So that's why I didn't bring that. Fine. I didn't bring something that would jar us and say, wait, how did the Torah say that? I said, when you look at Tanakh, the Tanakh forces you to deal with the question that things are not black and white. That's why I gave an example from Tanakh. I didn't say Hashem's system has to match our litmus test. Even though there are definitely things in Hashem's Torah that we have to ask ourselves, and you have to ask yourself the question, wait, why? You could say, I've come to an understanding that Hashem is true, and His way is true, and Hashem is good, and His way is good, and out of respect for that, there are questions which I won't have answers to. But to say I don't have a question, I don't know if I'm thinking if I don't have questions. Again, if I'm at the stage where I've attained the clarity that I should be adhering to His Torah, and I have that respect, so then I hear everything you're saying. There's a stage one, there's a stage two, there's a stage three. If I've reached stage three, I understand He created the world, and I'm responsible to adhere to His Torah, then there's a stage three where I respect what He says, and I say, even if I don't understand, I respect it. There I agree with you. My question is two things. He asked, are we going to say Hashem is true and everything He says is true? And I said, on the one hand, obviously that's the pasuk, Hashem Elokim Emet. On the other hand, it needs to be understood.
It's a little whimsical to say we did. We're expected not to. Where it's that clear.
Hashem's sign is Emet. Obviously, Hashem signs His name Emet, but. I could give you more examples. I'm saying I'm not looking to develop the question. I'm looking to say that the answer is not just a simple yes, it's all true. If you're going to look at Tanakh, you're going to have to be faced with questions. Hashem tells Moshe, tell Pharaoh, we're leaving for 3 days. You have to ask that question. Wait a second. Hashem's true. Why didn't he just tell Pharaoh, we're leaving and we're free. Goodbye. It's over. You have to ask the question. Now, what your answer is going to be, whether it's going to be in Egyptian culture, the second the slave left for 3 days, that was an agreement he was free, and that's what Hashem was telling Pharaoh. Or your answer is going to be, they could have come back after 3 days if Pharaoh would have lived up to his end of the deal, if he would have sent them, but that's not what happened. Or you say, when Pharaoh said, Kumu tzu mitoch ami, I want you to leave, so there was a declaration, I'm freeing you. Whatever, Bnei Yisrael Yotzim Biad Ramah, they left with the flag, it was obvious they were free men. Whatever you'll answer, but at least ask the question. And my point is, you can't just say it's so simple, yeah, everything's true. It's more complex. And at different junctures, you have different questions.
Have you read the book, the essay on Rabbi Kaplan, The Pure God?
I read part of it. I don't know if I finished it.
I
hear. I hear. So Rav Chalap, concluding this point, says that when Am Yisrael said Naseven Nishma, they understood that the Torah is the essence of good. The Torah is the representation of good. And it's not that they thought there are other systems that are good and Torah's better. But rather they realized there's no such thing as good that's outside Torah. You want to know what good is? That's Torah. And if anything else has something good about them, that's where they overlap Torah. There's no such thing as attaining good without it. Ein tov ela Torah. There's no such thing as good other than Torah. You want to know what's good in the world? Look at Torah. Now,
otherwise you're just reading yourself and you'll end up exactly.
Okay. So that is where he's leading us to what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. He's explaining to the non-Jew the Torah from his perspective. From his perspective, Torah is a system. It's a legal system. It's a medical system. It's a sociological system. So to him, he's saying, shouldn't bother you. You know systems here. I'll show you in your system that this type of thing also works. The students say, but that's not the answer. Torah is not a system. You answered him from the world he knows. We want a different answer. So he says, well, then you have to understand that dead people don't make you defiled and water doesn't make you pure. He's saying it's not that without the Torah there's a defilement there. The Torah revealed to you the system. You should know dead people defile you. The world has a system and Torah came to reveal the system. No. Technically, there's no system. Hashem said, I've made a decree that this should defile. Once I said it in Torah, then it exists in the world. The Torah, when we say Torah predates existence, Torah goes back to creation. What we're saying is, Torah is a reflection of Hashem's will. The world is a later reflection of Hashem's will. And so what Torah is revealing to you is not, you can't look at the world and say, Torah works within that system. Not true. It's the other way around, but in a major way, it's the other way around. If the world is an evolvement of a reflection of Hashem's good, so then Torah is the vehicle that develops that trend of a reflection of Hashem's good, and Torah predates the world. So that's part two of Ram Chalap. We're not yet done, you guys. We'll decide next week.